Well, next to the last great event in the end times, the millennium. And our scripture referred to the first resurrection and the millennial reign of Christ, and it also referred to Satan's destiny. So the millennium reign of Jesus Christ is when the believers rule and reign with Christ begins. It is when Jesus sets up the organization and arrangement of rule and reign throughout the whole universe. It is also when Christ gives believers, listen to this, when Christ gives believers their duties and responsibilities and their assignments and service for eternity. And it is when Christ removes the fallen. Now, you thought that you were just going to sit around on a cloud and praise God and not have anything to do. Not true. The believers will have 6 privileges in the millennium. First, they will be blessed. Now, isn't that what everyone is seeking to be, is blessed? But the problem occurs when we look at blessings from the wrong viewpoint. How often have you heard somebody say, "We are so blessed to get that new car. God has really blessed us to have this big, beautiful house." That's not the blessing that we're going to talk about this morning. That is not how God has blessed us. For instance, we tend to think that blessing is when we get a better position in our job, or when we come into money, or more possessions, or fame, or worldly pleasures. You see, the only blessedness is found in Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can give a person the right to rule and reign with him in his millennial reign. Now, Satan's going to come around here before we're done talking this morning and tell you a lie. He's going to tell you that he's the one that can do this. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and I know you know it, that we can only be blessed by Christ, and that we can only reign and rule with him starting in this millennial age. So the second privilege for the believers is that they will be holy. That is, they will be perfected into the holiness of Christ himself. They will be perfectly separated from the world, and God will set them apart with himself. The third privilege is that the believers will never be touched by the second death that John referred to in our reading this morning. So you say, well, what is the second death? It means the second kind of death. The first death is when we leave this world and pass into the next world. For some of us, that will be at the rapture. The second death refers to the eternal death. The death of being separated from God forever. Now that's a death that is far worse than the first death. Never going to see God's presence again. You're going to be in the lake of fire. You're going to be tormented. You're going to be Satan's right-hand man. or woman. It means to be put in a different place other than where God is. The believers will serve as a priest of God and of Christ. What does a priest do? What does this mean? This means that we will have the same right that we now have here on earth. You say, well, what are you talking about, Gary? The same right? Isn't it supposed to get better? Here's what I'm talking about. That is the right to enter the presence of God and Christ as needed. Christ will always be there for us to call on. Same as it is here on earth. It will be as it is now, except then, listen to this now, then we will be face to face with Jesus Christ. Now you tell me that's not better than what we have today. Yeah. I can't imagine that. How do we act? How we act will be natural. We won't have to stop and think about, well, I'm going to go see Jesus this morning and see, do I approach him on the right side or the left side? Or do I bow down or must I be on my knees? That won't even be a thought process for us. It will be natural for us as we face Jesus face to face. And the believers will rule and they will reign with Christ starting in the millennium. We will have different positions, different responsibilities. These responsibilities and positions will be determined by the work that you did here on earth. The believer will serve under the rule of Christ. So you ask yourself, well, why is the millennium even necessary? Jesus is going to return to earth, and he's going to rule for 1,000 years. So why doesn't he just end everything when he comes back to earth? Why not just say, this is it? Get in line, double file, we're going to heaven. By the way, anybody who's been in the Army knows what double file means. Well, there's several reasons for this. The earth must be ruled over by Christ in its present form because the earth belongs to Christ. He was the creator. He created the world and he created man. And man gave the world to Satan. And when he did, it brought evil into the world. So Jesus has to reclaim the earth and bring righteousness to it. And he has to do it while earth is in its present form. To just destroy the earth would mean that God failed. Okay, I got this wrong. We're going to just destroy the whole works and start all over. I would venture to say that even if God did that and we started all over, how long would it be before we turned it over to Satan again? Probably not any longer than it did the first time around. You see, God can't fail. So Jesus has to reclaim the earth and rule over it before he moves the world and believers into a new perfect world. A new heaven and earth is what will happen at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Because God didn't fail. He just wants to fulfill his promise of making it better. And it will not be turned back over to Satan again because Satan has been destroyed. Another reason is because God has to fulfill all of the promises of man. He has to bless the few believers on earth in order to fulfill his promise. Jesus has to do this while it's in its present form. God made some wonderful promises throughout Scripture and haven't yet been fulfilled, and they can't be fulfilled without Christ ruling and bringing them about. That's why we have the millennium. These promises will never be fulfilled in a sinful world. That's why Jesus came and set up a 1,000-year reign. So all of these promises that Jesus has made over all the generations and generations and eons can be fulfilled. It's the way it has to happen. Another reason the millennium is necessary is because God is love. And he wants to see more people saved despite the terrible evil of past history and the horrible evils of the end under the Antichrist. Now, we talked about this last week. Here is another example. Here is another chance that God is giving those who have not accepted him as Christ to do so. In every event in the end times, in part has served the purpose of giving those who have not accepted Christ to do so. In the millennium, God is going to give man the very presence of his Son. Here we go again. God loved us so much that here, once again, he's sending his Son to rule for 1,000 years, and among other things, to give us another chance to come to him and ask him to be our Savior. He will give man utopia on earth, and peace, and prosperity, and giving every opportunity in the world to receive Christ as Lord. Okay, here's another one. We'll have bodies in heaven. We will not be just some floating spirit on a cloud. In fact, we will have our present bodies with one difference. They will be perfected. So I get this question quite often. Am I going to know my dad in heaven? You bet you are. He's going to have the same body he had here on earth, only it's going to be perfect. It won't be frail and feeble. If you had a child that has gone before you, you will know him or her. But our relationship with our loved ones will be on a different basis. Because Jesus Christ will be first. Now, isn't that awesome? We have a grandbaby or two that was lost before birth. Never seen them, obviously. But we will know them. We will know them in heaven. In verse 7, it says, Satan is loosed and immediately deceived the nations. But wait a minute. Weren't the nations destroyed at Armageddon? Remember this big battle? The scripture tells us that there will still be people on earth after Armageddon. The people who will go through the millennium are those people. So there will be survivors of Armageddon who will become witnesses to the glory of Christ when they return home to their different nations. Now this is a beautiful, beautiful design. Once again, Jesus is giving us an opportunity to accept Him as our Savior. And here, He's giving us a tool for people to spread the word and say exactly who Jesus Christ is. There will be people who turn to the Lord during the millennium. So there will be nations that exist when Christ returns to earth, but the number of people will be greatly decreased after the trumpet sound. There will still be survivors. Think about this, 1,000 years. There's going to be generations born during the millennium. They need to be told what's happening. And here, Jesus gave the tool to do this. And during that millennium, Christ will rule. It will be these who, over whom He will execute justice. Those that are survived, those that are living through the millennium, the justice will come at the great white throne judgment that we're going to talk about next. Because there will be people that will be born during the millennium that will not have accepted Christ as their Savior. Perhaps because they didn't know. Perhaps because they never heard the word. Even though Jesus sent people out to the nations to spread the word. It's no different than it is today. There are people today, probably more so than ever before, that have never been exposed to the word. That do not know the events of the end time. Maybe don't even understand that there is an end time. The scripture tells us that everyone during the millennium will not be saved. There will be many whose hearts do not belong to Christ, even though Christ will actually be living in Jerusalem, where His palaces and rule will be centered. And there will still be hearts of many that will be hardened towards Him. So you say, how could this possibly be? How could this happen when Christ will rule for 1,000 years, when he will personally guide the rebuilding of the world cities and bring peace and prosperity to earth? The answer is the same. The same as what he experienced today and has been experienced since the beginning of time. When Christ came to earth over 2,000 years ago, people not only rejected him, but many denied that he was even God's son and voted to crucify him. You say, oh, I thought this was all behind us. Not yet, but we're getting close. It will be. Today, despite all the clear and unmistakable evidence, most reject and deny him. Remember that the millennium is 1,000 years, and that's a long, long time. People around the earth, as we all tend to do, will begin to fall into a routine. You have to stop and think that the people that were born during the millennium, what they see and live and experience has to be thought as normal. You don't know any different. This is the way it is. Things are so great. We're all so prosperous. I'm going to take advantage of this. No different than it is today. Years will pass, and some people won't even meet Christ face to face. You ever stop and think about that? There are people that will live through the millennium, will never meet with Christ face to face. What will happen will be just what has happened since Christ came the first time. People will begin to think of Christ in terms of just a mere man, another mortal. Too many, he will be just another ruler. Many will follow the deceptions of Satan. And the scripture says, now think about this. The scripture says that the numbers are as sands of the sea. Last time you were at the beach, how many pebbles of sand were down there? Could you count them? This is what the scripture tells us going to be, where the people that have not accepted Christ will be the same as the number of pebbles in the sand. And they are called by the name Gog and Magog. You see, these are the names that symbolizes the nations that come from the north to fight against God's people. The final armies of the world will be destroyed, and Satan will be condemned forever. The nations will march against Jerusalem and the throne of Christ to take over the world for themselves, but there will be no battle. So, we started the millennium. Christ locked Satan up. So you're not going to have any effect. But through Satan's deceit, he did. And what's the last thing that Christ did? He let Satan loose to play his deceit. Now, why would he do that? I gotta believe that he let Satan loose to have one last heyday so people could see all of the deceit and the lies that Satan used since the beginning of time to get people to follow him. Rush Limbaugh said years and years ago, he says, I like to accentuate the obvious. I like to show the obvious by accentuating the obvious. I kind of think this is what Jesus was doing. He gives Satan one last chance. He says, look, this is what you've been threatened with. This is what you've been promised. But my promises have been fulfilled. My reign will be pure and honest and prosperous and pain-free. And then what does he do? He grabs Satan by the nape of the collar, throws him into this lake of fire. And says, this is where you will be forever and ever and ever. Thank you. I gotta believe, I know that eternity is a long, long time. I gotta believe it's gonna seem that it's a whole lot longer if you're swimming in fire than if you're living with Christ. And with that, the next thing that Jesus is going to do is establish the great white throne. And all of those left on earth that have not accepted Christ will stand before that throne and be judged. And when that event is done, that lake of fire is going to be full. Satan will not be alone because all of these non-believers will join him. And then a new heaven and a new earth will be established. And that is where we will live and reign with Christ for all of eternity. So if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, I invite you to do that this morning. Not only is the reward so great, the punishment is even greater. And all of God's people said,